Last time on the pastor study, we began to do a study based on part of a verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 11, which says, "Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good." Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. And we started to look at some biblical characters who acted courageously or dealt courageously, and how the Lord was with the good that resulted as a result of these individuals acting courageously. We first look at the three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow before the image of Nebuchadnezzar. As a result, they were thrown into the furnace of fire. God delivered them. They were brought out. They were elevated. And the heathen king Nebuchadnezzar recognized who their God was, that he was the only true God. Amen. Then the second character we looked at was Daniel. We saw how a decree was signed by the king that for 30 days no man could call upon another god or another man except the king. And if they did that, they would be cast into the lion's den. And of course, we saw how Daniel acted courageously, dealt courageously. He knew that the law was passed, the statute was signed, but what did he do? We're told he went into his room like he did before, three times a day, got down on his knees, prayed to God, prayed to his God, and gave him thanks. So his relationship with God was not changed one iota. Amen. Not one iota because of that decree. He acted courageously. As a result, they threw him in the lion's den. God delivered him. He came out. Again, the Persian king Darius elevated his God, told people that they should fear and tremble, amen, before the God of Daniel, because he was the living God who was steadfast forever, amen. And then also Daniel was elevated as a result of dealing courageously. Now, a third biblical character that acted courageously was Joseph, over in Genesis chapter 39. Of course, you know, Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and his brothers were jealous of him. At first plotted to murder him, but didn't murder him, threw him into a pit, and then sold him down into Egypt into slavery. But we find that as we read the story of Joseph, we're told that the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. And, of course, we see that he dealt courageously with his master's wife. Now, Potiphar was his master. And Potiphar's wife wanted Joseph to lie with her. Amen. To commit adultery. Amen. And as you read the account there in Genesis 39, she tempted him day in, day out, each day, lie with me. Lie with me. Amen. And one day he came to the house to do business, as he normally did. But the other men weren't there, and he was alone with her. And I guess he really, as they say, put the screws to her, or him, excuse me, in wanting him to lie with her. And of course, we read there in Genesis 39. Let's turn there. Genesis 39. We want to see how he acted courageously. Amen. He tells her in verse 9 of Genesis 39, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." Joseph tells Potiphar's wife that her husband, Potiphar, he's second in command to Potiphar. Potiphar's given him everything except his wife. Amen. He's kept nothing back from him. "There is none greater in this house than I," Joseph says to her. "Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee." And the reason he's kept her back from Joseph is because thou art his wife. And so he tells her, when she asked Joseph to lie with her, he says, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, another point I'd like to bring out, I wish more Christians would say that when they're tempted to sin. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And, hey, she didn't care, point of his wife. She just came after him. She didn't care what he said. Then one day, she grabbed him by his garment to pull him to lie with her. And what did he do? It says there in verse 12, Genesis 39. "She caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." And of course, I often hear preachers preach this and say, he lost his coat, but he didn't lose his character, amen. Lost his coat, but didn't lose his character, amen for that. I wish there were more Christians out there, amen. They're more worried about losing their material things than losing their character or ruining their character or integrity. But what happened? So he fled and he got him out. And it came to pass in verse 13, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. So now here she is. You know, she doesn't want to be embarrassed that this young man didn't want to lie with her. So she falsely accuses him. Joseph is thrown into prison, falsely accused of attempted rape, amen, of his master's wife. Now we see how he dealt courageously, amen, how he acted courageously, really under fire. He was under fire. Temptation was hot and heavy, amen. But as a result, the Lord was with the good. Let's look at the good. Genesis chapter 41, beginning in verse 37. "Now, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of all his servant." See, Joseph had interpreted a dream that Pharaoh had had. The man that was in jail with him remembered that Joseph had interpreted a dream between him and the baker and the butler, amen, remember? So he tells the king, "Yeah, I remember there was one in there that could interpret the dreams, Joseph." So he calls Joseph out. Joseph interprets the dream, and it's good in the sight of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Can you imagine that? the heathen king recognized that that Joseph had the spirit of God in him. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none no so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." So here we have Joseph is promoted to second in command in all of Egypt. Wow. And then we read verse 41, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." And of course, remember, he saved his family, his father's father Jacob, and his other brothers and all their households, because there was a famine in the land, and he had his family come down into Egypt. Amen. So they were well taken care of. Why? Because this man, Joseph, acted courageously. Again, as our verse, our text verse for our study says, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. We've looked at three Old Testament examples of this. But the last one I want to look at is the Apostle Paul. There came a time that Paul dealt or acted courageously with the Apostle Peter on a doctrinal issue. Amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 11 through 15 of Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Now, Paul didn't get him in Peter's face just for getting in his face over some little matter, some petty little thing, but because of a serious thing that he was to blame. And he goes on. Paul explains what happened. "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles." So obviously, there were a group of Jews that James sent to where Peter was. And before they came, Peter was sitting around the table eating with the Gentiles. Amen. And he was eating things, obviously, that prior to the New Testament, the Age of Grace, prior to that vision that the Lord had given Peter in Acts chapter 10, where anything God had created was he could eat. There were no longer anything that was unclean. So here we have Peter sitting at the table eating with the Gentiles, eating food that was considered forbidden, unclean, before the change, amen, from Old Testament to New Testament. And then Paul goes on, "But when they were come, those that James had sent," what did Peter do? "He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. When Peter saw those men, obviously they were Jews, he became fearful. And he get up from the table, eating with the Gentiles, separating them, himself from them, like he had not, he had, was having nothing to do with them. Look at in verse 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with that dissimulation. What happened? Peter affect others. He led others astray. There were others eating, other Jews eating with the Gentiles, with Peter, and they followed his lead. That word dissimulation means hypocrisy. They were acting hypocritically, as hypocrites. They were sitting there like friends of the Gentiles, eating with them, and then here come the Jews, those that were circumcised, and automatically they get up from the table and separate from them, like they were doing something wrong, and they weren't. Because things had changed. They were no longer under the Mosaic law. Now verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Obviously Paul was there. He said, when I saw this, you know, that they were acting hypocritically, when they were not walking uprightly according to the gospel. The gospel, the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection. Because all we know, all those ordinances, all the things about eating what you couldn't eat, amen, and what you could eat, was nailed to the cross. Didn't apply anymore. He said, when I saw that, I said unto Peter, before them all, he called out Peter, he addressed this issue before all of them, before all that was there. He says, if thou being a Jew, living after the manner of the Gentiles. You know, he says, if you're a Jew, but you're living as a Gentile, you're eating the foods of a Gentile that a Gentile would eat. And not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, Peter's behavior was saying to the Gentiles, what you're doing is wrong, when in actuality it wasn't wrong. There was nothing wrong with it. So we see he was dealing with Peter on a doctrinal issue. Things that no longer applied to the current dispensation of grace, church age. Amen. But Peter was acting like he was back under the Mosaic law, when the Mosaic law had been done away with. Amen. All the ordinances. Amen. And diverse laws. Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. And then, see, what he was trying to do, Peter, in essence, by his behavior, was saying there was something that you could add to your salvation, you know, like eating the right things again. He was, you know, his actions were like putting these Gentiles back under the law. But this great verse, he says, knowing that a man, Paul says, is not justified by the works of the law, by what we eat or what we don't eat, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen and amen. Now, why do I say he dealt courageously or act courageously? Well, I believe that this could not have been easy for Paul to deal with Peter. Amen. In the first place. And the reason I say that is I want you to notice something. Notice what Paul says concerning himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And of course, this is the chapter where Paul tells us that he received the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel that saves, the gospel that he preached. But notice in verses 8 and 9 what he says about himself. Before verse 8, he's telling us about, you know, verse 4, that Christ was buried and rose again, rose the third day, according to the scriptures, and then how he was seen of Peter, and then of the 12, and then of 500, and many who have, that are, some who have fallen asleep that are not alive now, but many are still alive. And then he was seen of James, and then all the apostles. And he says, and last of all, he was seen of me. I was the last one to see the risen Christ, he said, as one born out of due time. Now notice verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. He says, I'm the least of the apostles. Amen. And I'm not meet. I don't meet the standards even to be called an apostle. Amen. Because I persecuted the church of God. And here he is. And who's he rebuking, my friends? He's rebuking Peter, who was considered at the time one of the top church leaders. Amen. So I believe that it took a lot of courage on Paul's behalf to deal as strongly as he did with Peter on a doctrinal issue. But you know what? As we look at our verse, and it says, we began with, deal courageously, which Paul did. He acted courageously in dealing with Peter, and the Lord shall be with the good. Well, think about it. Here's the good. You and I, as New Testament Christians in the current church age, whose epistles are we to follow as far as doctrine that doctrinally apply to us? The Pauline epistles, not Peter's epistles, amen. Although we can take from Peter's epistle anything that doesn't go against things we find in the Pauline epistles. And then also the Apostle Paul, he penned the majority of the New Testament books, amen. And it was Paul, my friends, who planted many churches and trained and ordained many a preacher. Amen. That's who you read about. Amen. You see, what we need to learn from our lesson about dealing courageously, you and I, as Christians, need to deal courageously. We need to act with courage, even at times when it's not popular or it seems by others that you're being hard. You see, it takes courage to live for and serve Christ. And it may not be easy at times. You know, I think of the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, you know, we see his great dissertation there on how he was the living bread, came down from heaven. And whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, and of course he wasn't talking about obviously eating his literal flesh and drinking his literal bread. Literal blood, amen. Because he said the flesh profiteth nothing. It's the spirit that quickeneth. He was speaking in a spiritual sense about eating his body and drinking his blood. But after he said these things, we read in the scriptures in John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And that's what's going to happen. When you as a Christian stand up for what is right and act courageously, The crowd is going, the crowd with you is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen. That's what's going to happen. But you got to see, we've looked through all these different Bible characters, these biblical characters, and how they acted courageously. They acted with courage. And as a result, the Lord was with the good. And I believe the same thing. I really believe that. You act courageously. You do what's right. You deal with things. And I do that as a pastor. It's difficult at times. But you've got to stand up for what's right. You've got to do what's right. You've got to act courageously. Even though it may not be popular. Even though you may lose some folks in your church. You know, as we read here, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, because they said to him, they said to Jesus, these are hard sayings. Sometimes the truth is hard for people to take. It is. And they may not like it. And they might say you're being mean or you're hard, amen. But you've got to stand firm. You've got to act courageously. Preacher, pastor, Christian worker, amen. You know, as one preacher said to me when I was first starting out, he said, if Jesus isn't enough, if you're not in it for Jesus, then get out. Get out of the ministry, amen. But I believe the Word of God when it says, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. We are not as Christians to act faint-hearted. We're not to be fearful. You know, we're to be like David when he went out. You know, you think of David, there's another example of someone who dealt courageously, who act courageously. And the reason he did is because he had history with the Lord. The Lord had delivered a bear and a lion, him out of the hands of a bear and a lion. And he's saying, this giant, is that any different? God can't overcome this giant? He knew. You and I need to get that through our thick skulls. Deal courageously. Amen. Deal courageously. Act with courage. And if you're a preacher, pastor listening to me today, sometimes you have to do it. It's hard and it's not easy and it takes courage, but God wants each and every one of us to deal courageously. And if we'll do that, the promise is, the Lord shall be with the good. And see, the question is, that I put before you, as we tie this all together, we've seen over and over and over again, through the Word of God, that this has been proven. Deal courageously, amen, and the Lord shall be with the good. The question is, to you listening today, do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what it says? If you'll deal courageously, if you'll act with courage, the Lord shall be with the good. In other words, there'll be good to come out of it. I ask you today, as I come to a conclusion of our study, if you haven't been dealing courageously, won't you ask the Lord to help you? Help you to deal courageously, to act with courage. Thank you for letting me come into your homes today on the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study today. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.